Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on another edition of the Red Pill Diaries. We have a very, very special guest today. They tried to prevent us from getting him on the air. They were messing with the times, the date. But let me tell you, I gotta give the props where props are due. When I first reached out to this man, it took him less than 45 minutes to get back with me. Less than 45 minutes. And he immediately said, of course I'll do the show. So I have to give credit, and I'm going to bring, hopefully we can bring you in just a second. There we are. Gregory Mannarino. We pay homage to the internet stock market guru.
No. I should be doing that to you, man. I'm nobody. I am nobody. I'm just a guy who loses his mind once in a while, as you are well aware of, but no. Thank you for having me. I am more than happy to be here. Glad to be here. I was worried we weren't going to get together, but here we are.
I'm so grateful. And let me tell the people also that will be watching us later that with all the tricks that were being played, he hit me up in my email and said, hey, let's do it now. Let's do it now. And I mean, I'm like, okay, give me 15 minutes. It caught me off guard because I was like, the show probably won't happen today because they're messing with everything. But I mean, right on the money. So let's get right into it. Hey, as a matter of fact, earlier this morning, I played two of your videos from YouTube, especially when you were going off and you were saying that somebody's inside the federal chairman's butt.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would say.
So could you inform the people exactly what is going on? Because we're looking at different musicians in the same chair. When you get one president out and one president in, and it seems like they're both working in concert to put over the same policy, even though they seem like they're against each other.
Well, I've been saying that for the longest time. I don't believe that there is a two-party system. I think it's one party. I think, you know, they put on a different suit. They put on this show for the people trying to, you know, look, it's a divide and conquer mechanism. That's what it always is. It's always been that way. You know, you get these people to hate these people and these people hate you back even worse. It's just the same story throughout history. And that's what we're seeing now. It's a shit show. I don't know if I can say that,
but
it really is. It's an absolute clown show. It gets to me because I see it very clearly for what I believe is the truth. And I just sit here and try to spew out of my mouth what I'm actually seeing here. And then I think the bigger picture is, you know, telling people there's something that you may be able to do about it. Don't be fleeced. Don't lay down. Open your eyes. You know, realize what's happening to you. And I think, sadly, that most people have no clue. They have no idea. And they get angry. They lash out when you try to explain to them that, you know, this is all by design. Everything we're seeing, nothing is by accident here. And, you know, I hope people are going to wake up, but I really don't know what we can do. We're so far beyond the point of, like, this not ending in a terrible way for everyone that, again, I think, and I've been saying this lately, it's almost like every man or every woman for him or herself at this particular time, at the same time, trying to get through to people that maybe can understand what's going on, get together with like-minded people. Because I don't think we've seen anything yet with regard to where this whole thing is going here. Clearly, we are in an economic meltdown, not just here in the United States. This is a global phenomenon. They shut the economy down by design, allowing the central banks to finish what they started, especially the Fed in 1913. All of it, it's theater. What this politician's saying and that it's just all of it is designed to keep people off balance, off guard, distracted, not focusing on the important things. And again, this is nothing new. This is a mechanism that has worked for thousands of years, and it will continue to do so. This is how people have been manipulated since time in freaking memorial.
Now, I get a lot of flack because I try to hold President Obama to the same standards that I hold everybody else to. I get a lot of flack about this. In your opinion, why does he get a pass in implementing some of the most detrimental policies to not only the middle class, but Black America? Why does he get a pass for that?
Well, look, sadly, okay, the mechanism of divide and conquer always works, okay? And unfortunately, certain groups of people get the short end of the stick. That's really the truth, and it's a horrible thing. We have not outgrown that yet. I sincerely hope this will change, but it's a terrible thing to witness. It really, really is. It's a terrible thing to see. Now, you know, going back to Obama, you know, I voted for the man. Everyone knows that. I turned out to get somewhat disappointed because I didn't like look, I'm going to tell you why I took flack. The number one reason why I got flack, when President Obama and the Federal Reserve at the time, they had to do something to restart the economy, okay? They had to do something. So what did they do? They started QE1. I had no idea that it would go into QE2, QE3, Operation Twist, and it never stopped. That's when I started to say to myself, hold on a second here. Something's wrong. The market is not being allowed to work. So when the market's not allowed to work, you get distortions, and it creates imbalances in the economy, inequality in the economy, going to what you were talking about. So this, I mean, look, this has been going on for a really, really long time. But under these two guys, we've seen this get monumentally worse, and it's all these distortions. And I think what's happening here with the social unrest going on, this is people that have frankly had enough. They have had a freaking enough, and they're losing it. As Joe Celente says, when people lose it all and they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. So that's really what we're seeing here. And a lot of the manifestation of it is, again, people lashing out at each other for all kinds of reasons. They don't like this guy's skin color. They don't like the way this person talks. They don't like this person's religion. You know, so they've managed to get inside our heads and managed to, you know, foster a very unhealthy environment where people here, instead of coming together and realizing that we are one family, where I don't care where you come from, I don't care what you look like, nothing. We are a family of human beings. And, you know, we're not being allowed to see that. It's all about divide, conquer. What can they possibly do to make people angry, to keep them distracted? Because all this stuff is going on right under people's nose. The fact that we're in an economic collapse right now, but we're being told we're in a super V recovery. We're told that we're adding jobs, which is a complete lie. We're not adding anything. We're in free fall. But again, you know, the bigger a lie becomes, I think the easier it is for people to believe it. And they do. But it's a pathetic state of affairs that we are in here. And I don't think it's just here in the United States, because I talk to people all over the place, all over the world. I interact with people. And it's everywhere. This is going on everywhere. But you wouldn't know that watching the news. You would think everything's just contained in the little box here in the United States. Turn on any of the news channels. Yeah. You can't see anything that's going on around the world, because they want to keep people in the box, not seeing what's going on anywhere else, not concentrating on real issues. What they are is, again, getting people angry. That's really what this is all about right now. And look what they're doing, stringing people along with the carrot. $1,200 check, it's coming. No, we're taking it back. $1,200 check. Here's no, we're taking it back. I mean, this is getting under people's skin. A lot of people need this cash. I understand. I understand that people can't pay their bills. People can't, you know, feed their kids. I've been warning about this for a decade that we were going to get to a moment like this. And here we are. And we're watching a large group of people that once was vanish. That is the middle class. The middle class is virtually extinct at this particular time. We're going into a two-tier society, like I've warned about for over a decade, literally over an entire decade. A massive wealth transfer like we've never seen before in the history of the world. And this is why people are getting up in arms. They've had enough. They're suffering. No one wants to help them. But Wall Street, doing great. The corporations, stronger than ever. Bonuses, bigger than they've ever had. Does it make sense to you that...
You know, you hit a point here. And you were talking about how Wall Street is like at all time highs. The corporations are getting all of these bonuses. Why is it okay for like certain people to like, how can I phrase this? Like for them to give out packages to the already rich or the major corporations, and yet, as you say, string along the people in the mud. Why is that?
Well, I've explained to people for a very long time that we were going to see a society of extreme haves and extreme have-nots. And this is how it's manifesting itself. You know, what we're witnessing here in the United States is a very dangerous phenomenon. We're seeing these corporations now merge with a new government philosophy. And this is, by definition, this is fascism. Uh-huh. And under this new thing that's developing, again, people aren't paying attention to this, but this is what is occurring here. So in my view, when this is complete, and they haven't completed this merger yet, when it is complete, that's when a new set of rules are coming too. But the rules are always different for the Wall Street people, for Wall Street, for the corporations, for the banks. I mean, for example, bank after bank after bank gets caught red-handed rigging the market. I mean, what happens? Does anybody get arrested? No. They get a fine. They get a slap in the wrist. And guess what? They continue to do it. But if you or I were to get caught manipulating a single stock price or something, you know, you and I, we'd be in handcuffs and in jail in the blink of an eye. But no. There's a different set of rules for them and us. And that's unfortunately the way it probably has always been, but it's more in our face today, I think, because I tell people, look, this is going on and it's in your face. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to sit there and watch my TV and listen to the people there tell me what's really going on. Duh. Are you kidding me? No. You need to listen to shows like yours where people are sitting here and able to think outside the box and say, hey, something is really going on here. I don't know. I kind of lost hope in a lot of ways that people are not waking up to the degree that I had hoped that they would. I really believed years and years ago when I started talking about this that maybe we could start some kind of a revolution. Maybe we would get enough people together that could see the behind the curtain at what's really going on. But the truth of the matter is it's been an uphill battle. People don't want to face it. They don't want to deal with real issues. They want to be lied to. They want to be propagandized. They want to be told fake news. They want to be told everything is fine. Meanwhile, it's really not. But it's terrible. This is terrible.
One of your friends, Gerald Salenta, he was being interviewed about 2 or 3 days ago. And he was talking about the situation. And you could see the passion in him. He was frustrated with how things were going. And I forget the lady's name that was she was interviewing him, and she was talking, and he was talking about that, how bad it is and how bad it's going to be. And he said, this thing can be hell on earth. What is your opinion on that?
Absolutely. It is hell on earth for a lot of people. But, you know, I can say just here I live in Las Vegas. I've seen the homeless population explode. Virtually on every corner in my neighborhood, there's people out here begging. We had behind my house here is a big, huge field. They had a Hooverville back there, you know, tents, people living out there. People in my neighborhood are selling their homes. They can't afford their mortgages. Okay, so this is big. This is hell on earth for a lot of people already. But in my view, and I would have to agree completely with Gerard Celente, because the man is, he is the man. Let's say that. He sees where this is going. It's very simple, I think, for people to see that. They think, if they believe that we're going to get another bailout here, which is coming, there's going to be one, and then that's going to be it, everything is going to be fine. No. There's going to be another bailout, followed by another bailout, and all this is about really is empowering the central banks, especially the Federal Reserve, who their goal since 1913 has been to be the lender and buyer of last resort so they can own the world. That's it. That's why we have the debt-based economic model. That's why the debt-based economic model will always be here. It gives them power. If we were to have a wealth-based system, let's say backed by a commodity, gold, because it's the most stable asset in the world, it would give power back to the people. But we, the people, we're nothing. We're a means to an end for those that are the overseers, whoever they might be. And again, because we're moving in quickly into this two-tier society here, you know, it's a feudal system. Like we've seen, this three-tier society with the middle class, this is a new thing. It's only a couple of hundred years old. Throughout history, it's always been, you know, the ruling class and the serfs. That's where they want to go back to. That is their end game. And that's why we're seeing the stock market inflate the way it is. While we're seeing suppression of metals the way that they're doing it right now, the rigging of these markets, the rich getting richer than they've ever been. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me how we can have a free fall economy with the stock market near all-time record highs, Wall Street doing better than they've ever done, record high bonuses for the banks and for the Wall Street, the corporations, and people in the United States are literally dying. Does it make sense to you? I'm sure it don't.
It doesn't make sense at all. And you were talking yesterday on one of your, well, you wouldn't, I could see the frustration in you because I believe at one time you had hope that maybe Trump would be different. And now it seems as though you are just exasperated with him.
I am. I voted for the man. I think people know that. I've admitted it. I had hoped that President Trump would be candidate Trump. Candidate Trump was a different guy than the guy that's there now. There's just no doubt about it. All he's done is foster this wealth transfer. The gap here between the rich and the poor is unfreaking believable. America has not been made great again. He did nothing with regard to reining in the Federal Reserve. All he did was take over what Obama was doing because it worked. You know, prop up the economy by adding epic, epic amounts of debt. Instead of reining in the Federal Reserve like he said he was going to, what was he saying? Let's go negative with rates. Let's weaken the dollar. Has he explained to anyone how that would help them? No, of course it wouldn't. And unfortunately, I'm not sure it's going to change. I don't think it's going to. It's gotten too far now with regard to the end game, which is simply, in my view, to have a two-tier society, the super rich and the people on the other side of it. And unfortunately, I don't think it can change. Again, maybe I have lost a lot of that hope I once had. I believed in a lot of things here. I believed that Obama would really make a difference. He didn't really achieve what I had thought he would do. Obviously, Trump, I'm very, very disappointed with him. He hasn't done anything that he said he would do. Of course, he's done some things. Both presidents did do some good, okay, because, well, that's their job. But, you know, people say, well, Greg, you know, you're omitting all the good stuff that President Trump has done recently. Well, you know what? Rah, rah, rah. At least he did one thing he was supposed to do, or two or three. But for the American people, what is this? What is going on here? And then he's pointing fingers. It's China's fault about this virus. Are you kidding me? Who's buying that? Isn't China who did this? Did China benefit from this? No. I mean, it's all the distractions. It's the lies. It's the misinformation. Yes. So, you know, I am very disappointed in President Trump. I had hoped, and I reached out to President Trump, say, listen, your economic advisors, they're imbeciles, every single one of them. I will help you for free. You know, not that I know everything, but these guys that he's got, no president in the history of the world could have picked more imbeciles than this president has chosen. President Obama actually surrounded himself with some people who had a brain. That's really the truth. But this guy, I think he's done it because he wants to feel like he's the smartest guy in the room. He went out of his way, President Trump to pick the stupidest people he could find, in my view. And he was saying, I'm going to put the greatest people in there. Greatest. We're going to be so good. We're going to just do, we're going to win, 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 win. Really? How does it look now?
This is a three-part question about Goldman Sachs now shorting the dollar. What do you think about that? About how do you think the landscape will look after the election and up leading up to the election and after? And what is your take on USA Watchdog's perspective, because they believe that Trump is actually trying to save America? Those three, and I know you have something to say about all three of them, so please.
Yeah, I do. Well, we'll start off with USA Watchdog. Greg Hunter is delusional. We do not talk anymore. And that, the reason is he's lost. I really have to, I hate to say it, just, I was very close to the man. I was at one particular time. I even reached out to him several times to try to patch it up, but the man is he's gone off the deep end in a big way, unfortunately. but that's just that. So, you know, Greg can have his theory out there. It's been proven to be 100% wrong. I mean, everyone would not, would just one functioning brain cell can see that that's true. Okay. With regard to the dollar, in my view, it's a dying asset. I've been saying that for the longest time. It doesn't surprise me at all that a Wall Street bank is shorting the dollar here. There are many ways to be short the dollar. You could be long gold. You know, you don't have to be, for example, betting, you know, buying puts against the dollar. You could be holding gold. If you're holding gold, if you're holding silver, if you're holding platinum, palladium, or cryptocurrency, in my view, you are taking up a position against the dollar, which is a unit of debt. That's all it is. It's not a unit of wealth, it's a unit of debt. Not only is it a unit of debt, you don't even own them. The dollars that we have are owned by the Federal Reserve, and they're owed back to the Federal Reserve plus interest that they print out of thin air. I think it's pretty much common knowledge that we are, in fact, going to a completely digital dollar. There only exists 1.9 trillion actual printed dollars on Earth. The rest of it doesn't exist. It's not on the elemental chart. You can verify this just by going to the Federal Reserve's own website, how much currency is in circulation. It's about 1.9 trillion. So all the rest of it is just not there. So, yeah, I think I've been trying to explain to people that they need to be their own central bank, bet against the debt forever, and that means holding a hard asset. So I've been net short the dollar for a very, very long time. It's about time that a major Wall Street bank is saying, hey, you know, people should be short the dollar. Well, again, think of it this way. If you're holding metals, you're short the dollar. You're betting against that, the debt. It's going to implode. They're going to expand it on an unprecedented scale. Let's talk about that real quick, going back to some of those questions that you asked me months ago. I said on my show, a lot of people got triggered, I said, the market is pricing in a Biden win and it's going to continue higher. You probably heard me say that. And that's exactly what has happened. Now you got the Wall Street banks signing just like Greg Mannarino. You see, because when people are in this game, and that's all this is, this game of trading, of Wall Street's a game, you see the same things. It takes some people a little bit longer. Honestly, the Wall Street banks are behind the curve. They got a hell of a lot of more money than I do, or than most people do on the planet. But anyway, you know, that's what's been going on. The market is clearly pricing in a Biden win. And, you know, this is a double-edged sword here in many ways. The fact of the matter is, and I've been explaining to people, why do I believe that this market is going to go much higher if Biden were to win? It's going higher either way, because the Fed is not done. The merger between the corporations and this new American government, that's not complete yet. The ballooning of the stock market, that's not done yet. The debts and deficits that are exploding, they're not done with that yet. They're going to create a critical mass at one point and then put forth a massive, and this is going to be the Federal Reserve, a massive issue that's going to affect probably every human being on this planet, and then they're going to offer a solution to it. That's how it always plays out, you know, problem, solution, reaction, that kind of thing. But I believe no matter how we want to look at this, we're going to see much, much, much more debt moving forward. Debt is the only thing keeping the stock market propped up. That's it. There's nothing else. It doesn't matter what's happening to the American people. The middle class is dying. Look, everyone, no one can deny that right now. But meanwhile, the stock market keeps going up. Now, I think Biden will have a new paradigm of debt. We're going to see more debt be borrowed into existence than under Obama and Trump combined if Biden pulls off a win here. We're going to see something similar if Trump wins as well, but not to the same degree because of the philosophy of the Democrats and the Republicans. But I think what we potentially could see here is more of that cash instead of going into corporate hands. It will make its way into the average person's hands underneath a Biden presidency. Either way, it's just more debt. Either way, it's allowing the Federal Reserve to go up that pyramid. That's their end game since 1913, to do what they're doing now, be the lender and buyer of last resort. That's how I see it playing out. At this point, at least, you know, it does look like Biden is going to win here. I guess this can change over the next few weeks. How am I going to play it? Well, like I said in one of my recent videos, no matter who wins here, and I frankly don't care anymore. I've lost the ability to. I don't care who wins. It doesn't matter to me anymore. It doesn't. I feel like our country is lost, and we would need a real hero to turn this around. Someone with the guts to say enough is enough. Someone who had the guts to say to stop the Federal Reserve from doing what they're doing. So they want to finish their plan to own it all. And how they're doing that is, again, just buying everything with dollars they create out of thin air. And that the debt-based economic model is a curse upon mankind. We don't need a central bank. We don't need the Federal Reserve. The people, when our forefathers put this whole thing together, they did not envision a central bank. They believed that the people had the power to govern themselves in every way, meaning they didn't need a central bank. Okay, but this has all gone awry, completely off the rails, and now we have this, whatever it is, and it's merging into an oligarchy of some twisted fascist thing here. We've gone way beyond socialism. I mean, do we have a capitalistic market when we have the Federal Reserve buying the debt of Dow components? We have President Trump bailing out airlines here. We have, you know, it's insane. This is not capitalism here. If we had a real free market, for which we don't, things would be much, much different. But the fact is they don't want a free market. The Fed is controlling everything. The Fed controls everything because they control our mode of transaction. So they're running the entire show. Our politicians are puppets, all of them. So like I was going back to what I said, we need a hero. Do I think Biden is going to be that hero? I doubt it. I really do. I would love to be proven wrong here. But we need someone that's going to level with the American people. If President Trump had the guts to explain to people, we got problems. We got humongous problems. And this is what we need to fix them. He's not smart enough to do it. There's no doubt about it. The man is not very smart, in my opinion. He didn't even write the Art of the Deal. I think you know that. This was ghostwritten. If he had read the Art of War, he would be able to take this entire situation and flip it around, but he's not smart enough to do that. The man is not smart. I don't care what people say. I don't even think he's a billionaire. He owes, $400 million. How can you be a billionaire if you owe $400 million? It doesn't make sense to me.
And has gone bankrupt multiple times.
I mean, you know, you can't make this stuff up, but this is, look, the reason why Trump won last time was by default. Hillary Clinton was a liar. And I think America realized that. President Trump has become a liar to the same degree. And they're sick of it. That's why Biden is moving up like this in the polls. My take on Biden, it's going to be another default thing too, but Biden doesn't seem as much, they all lie, but Trump, he takes the cake, man. There's nothing like it. I don't think he's able to utter a single truth other than we're in a super V recovery. Really? We're adding jobs. Really? We're all rich. Really? No, I don't think so. People are sick of it, and that's why I think he's going to lose.
I can see what you're talking about with Trump. Why do you think that he'll utter one thing and within 30 minutes he's backtracking on what he just said and he's condemning what he just said and he's doing the opposite of what he said he wouldn't do?
You know, I've often wondered that myself. I mean, a good example of what you're saying here is when, I mean, he had the right idea. Let's talk about this stimulus deal, okay? When the president said, that's it, no more stimulus deal talks, I knew, and the market dropped. Mm-hmm. I said, nonsense. He's going to reverse. I said 72 hours. I went in, and I bought that drop in the stock market because I knew the man would flip-flop. Mm-hmm. 24 hours later, oh, no. I was just kidding. No, that's not what he said. But he did reverse himself completely. He completely caved. He had Pelosi by the throat. Mm-hmm. Pelosi was probably like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? But then he caved because he saw the market fall. All this man cares about is using the stock market as a distraction. That's why he flip-flops a lot. He'll say something. He'll look at the reaction in the market, not thinking that maybe the market will react negatively to what he says, and then he flip-flops. Oh, no. I didn't really say that. I mean, we're going to make America great again, duh. And then the stock market goes back up. To him, and he said this before, he said this, if the stock market is going up, it means we're creating jobs. Has nothing to do with that at all. I mean, this shows you the man has no idea of how an economy works. Either he's lying, he thinks people are going to buy that, and I think he does. I think the president believes that if people see a stock market moving up, they think our economy is booming. This economy has never boomed under President Trump. Never, even when he was pushing the last lie. All you need to look at is one thing. You probably know what it is if you watch my work. The money velocity, the rate at which cash moves to the economy. We've been at historic lows. Look, the 2008 moment was when this whole thing died. It really did. It's been on life support. Throughout Obama's presidency and throughout this guy's presidency, life support. And what are they doing? What are they doing? Adding more debt, piling it on. There's going to be a moment of implosion here. Going back to what Joe Salente is trying to warn people of, and I've been warning about this for the longest time here, there's going to be a meltdown in the debt market that people are not going to believe. And when that occurs, you're going to see a lot of cash leave the debt market very rapidly. That's going to cause rates to spike very rapidly. That's going to put an enormous amount of pressure on the stock market. Everyone's going to run to the door at the same time, but the cash, what we all need to know here, is not going to go to money heaven. It's going to go into other assets. It's going to go into hard assets, in my view. We're going to see commodities skyrocket. We're going to see the cost of living skyrocket as the dollar plunges in value. That's why Goldman Sachs is bidding against the dollar. The dollar is a unit of debt. Most people don't understand that the dollar is a tradable asset, that its value actually fluctuates. Mm-hmm. Most people have no idea. Yeah, look at that. It's totally true. Anyway, look, I think, at least I would hope, that some people are waking up to the charade that we're seeing here. Again, I've kind of lost a lot of hope because but at the same time, you know, I've heard from a lot of people. I mean, look, my channel's pretty big, but there's not enough people. There's not enough of us who have an understanding of this to change the trajectory of the way things are. People just sit there now. They're like sheep. They've been dumbed down to the point where they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And that's all by design, too. They're struggling to get by. This is why, again, the Congress can't get anything done. Do we think this is really by accident? No. They want to hang that carrot in front of your face. They want to create more anxiety, more stress. You can't think. All you want to do is grasp at straws, trying to figure out how you're going to survive, not paying attention to what's going on. It's always the same story.
Isn't the Fed buying its own debt or the U.S. debt tantamount to the drug dealer buying and smoking his own crack?
At the same time, yeah, it could definitely be construed that way, although I don't know if I would have put it that way, but it does sound, it sounds reasonable to me. So look what they're doing. Look, it's their product. You're absolutely right. I love how you put this into perspective. People don't understand that. We are existing in a system where the Federal Reserve has the power to create one thing, and that is debt. And they're using that to leverage everything. They're buying it all by design. This is what they've wanted to do. And we have here a president that that is blatantly playing into it, blatantly selling out America. I voted for him because he said he would stop it. I voted for him. He said he was going to rein in the Fed. I got duped, man. That's the truth. I got duped here. But again, it was by default. Hillary was a liar. Who could have voted for her? But I'll tell you something. Who's benefited from this? Wall Street has. Mm-hmm. I said before anyone else that the stock market would skyrocket under President Trump. People were saying, oh, the market's going to crash. I was like, why would you think the market would crash under a guy here who's all for business? All he cares about is the rich. The middle class, poo, he'll spit on you. That's what you are. You're dog shit to him. So, okay, it was a no-brainer. Stocks were going up. That's it. Biden, maybe cares a little bit more about the middle class, a little less about these corporations here. That's what it appears as. But sometimes things are not what they appear. I still believe that the corporate agenda here, because it's all about money, it's, you know, maybe it's even worse than that. I've actually said this, and I don't know if this is true, but I wouldn't doubt it. When a president is elected, they have a lot of ideals, okay? And then they're sat down and they're told how it really works. They say, no. They show you the Kennedy assassination a few times. Maybe they threaten your family a few times. You know, I mean, going back to President Obama, I mean, that man had charisma. There's no doubt about it. I believed a lot of the stuff he was talking about during the campaign. And a lot, obviously, you know, he was handed a pretty bad, an abysmal. There was an economy in free fall at that particular time, almost like Biden will be handed an economy in free fall as well. And I think he did a lot. I think President Obama did things that he felt like he had to do with regard to get the economy back on track. And he did to a certain degree. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, it just kind of topped out. And there was no getting out of the mess that was created, I think, for him. And we're seeing some of that right now, too. It never ended. The whole economic meltdown of 08, we're really seeing a second wave of this here, because all we did was add debt. We didn't fix anything. Nothing got really fixed. All we did was add more debt to the situation, and it's continuing today. And I just can't figure out a way they can stop it. I can't imagine that Biden will stop it. I think we're going to see parabolic debt under Biden. And then, I mean, hoping we're going to be able to grow out of it? I don't think so. I don't think there's not enough money on earth, derivatives and or otherwise. But it's designed that way. The system is designed to implode. They're going to implode the current system and put forth a new system. That's the only thing they can possibly do. It will not be commodity-backed, because that would take power away from the central banks. The central banks have started wars, continue to fight wars, just to keep the system alive. The petrodollar is a good example of how that works. The fiat monetary system, it's crazy. But a new system has to be instituted in order for this whole thing to change. And unfortunately, transition from one to another is going to be very volatile. And again, as the debt-based economic model, I think, evolves into something else, it's going to cause a lot of heartache for a lot of people. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing the current system die, really, is what we're seeing.
So with all of this going on, I'm positioned in gold. I'm positioned in silver. I have a few real estate investments. Someone asked me when I ever talked to you to ask them about copper, because, you know, some people say you can invest in copper. What is your position on that?
Copper is a good metal to invest in if you really believe that we're going to have some type of an economic boom. It's used in building, obviously, you know, creating things, wire, and, you know, so I without a real economic boom, I don't think I would be putting, I don't own any copper. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that, I don't own any copper at all. I've thought about it, but in order for me to invest in copper, I would need to see real change in the economy. And we are so far from that. So I, at this particular point, would probably not want to hold copper. I think because it's ridiculously cheap right now, people should be holding silver. Silver has so many uses. I also believe the reason why I always point out to silver is I think we're going to get to a point where the market does normalize. What will that mean? Well, I think Dow Jones Industrial Average is going to crater at one particular time. I don't know where the bottom is. No one's smart enough to know where the bottom is. It could be Dow 6,000. It could be lower than that. But we're going to see gold double the Dow. So if we have Dow 6,000, we could see gold 12,000. And I think we're going to get a 15-to-1 ratio with regard, close to a 15-to-1 ratio with regard to silver. So just do the math. Let's do that together here. So let's do 12. Oh, my calculator just broke. No, it's fine. And you're looking at like $800, you know, in that scenario for silver. I mean, it's kind of unfreaking believable. And most people go, well, that's never going to happen. Well, people didn't think Bitcoin was going to hit 18,000. And it certainly did. And people didn't think Bitcoin was going to go back over 12,000. Everyone was telling me it was going to zero when I was telling people to buy it at 2,700. So it looks like I got that one right too. And I'll tell you something about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. It's going much higher. Much, much higher. There's no doubt about it. So look, that's how people can protect themselves, at least from a financial standpoint. I definitely am not the guy with regard to a survival standpoint. Like if we get into a point where this is a worst case scenario with this pandemonium in the streets, and I think we can get there. I think it's going to get there by design because they need to do that. They need to create chaos. Once chaos is created, they will institute a new set of rules. And we're already starting to see some of that. So, I mean, maybe things will change for the better. Maybe they won't. Maybe a divine hand will come in and intervene. It certainly isn't Donald Trump because a lot of people believe he was sent by God to fix this whole thing. That didn't work out too well. I'm not kidding you. I called Trump out. I called these people out. I'm like, you believe that Trump was actually put here as a savior deity, as in like Jesus Christ. Do you really believe that? Well, Greg, I really do believe. Okay. Let's see how that works out. Didn't work out.
F. William Ingall, the guy who termed the phrase full spectrum governance, he did a lecture. And as a matter of fact, I talked to him behind closed doors long before Trump became president. And he told me that Trump and Trump's family were in bed with the mafia and the international criminal gangs around. And he said, if you believe that Trump would do something that would upset the apple cart, then you're crazy. And he said they would kill him. But he would be put there. And Ingall said this before Trump was elected. He said that he would be put in the office and it would be almost like a sideshow. And I'm paraphrasing. And this is to mislead, give other people hope that maybe this guy right here can turn things around, all while the rich would be stealing more and more and more and more and more. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it definitely has played out to be that way. It is a sideshow. I think that with regard to Trump's connections with the mafia, do I believe it's true? I don't know. People who have money tend to have some pretty strange bedfellows. So I wouldn't doubt it that he has some kinds of connections like that, but I wouldn't doubt that about a lot of people that have money. Mm-hmm. That's really the truth. You know, there's always that, you know, fine line that people, that rich people walk, they do things. When people acquire vast amounts of wealth, if you look back at the Kennedys, for example, look at what they had to do or what they did to acquire the wealth that they have. It was all underworld stuff, insider trading, dark stuff. So, I mean, that, you know, when someone is so, so rich, you really got to sit back and say, did they really earn that the right way? It's probably not. If you were to search hard enough, you're going to find things in there that are not on the up and up with regard to that. But yeah, there were a lot of people, and still are people that I know personally that believe that not only is Trump going to win the election, but when he does, that that's it. He's going to lay down the law. He's going to end the Fed.
Yeah.
He's going to, you know, bring about a utopian society. He's going to bring everyone together of every race, creed, religion, whatever it might be. There are people that really believe that. I have friends of mine who believe that. We can't even talk because we're so far apart. I frankly don't believe any of that. But they do. There are some people that, you know what it is? I think it comes down to they want to believe.
Yeah.
They want to so badly believe that there is a saving grace here. And unfortunately, their faith is in the wrong place. You can't be putting your faith in a human being. That's number one. Especially a guy like this with a track record that he has. But again, I mean, a lot of America's problems are very deeply rooted, and they go back a long time. There are still people in this country that believe that people should be separated by color, by age, by faith, by whatever it might be. And a lot of those kind of people are Trump supporters, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and anyway, that's probably President Trump calling you. but, you know, unfortunately, we're devolving in many ways. We're not evolving. And we're allowing ourselves to be manipulated. We're allowing ourselves to be divided and conquered. This is what people always do. This is how the few have controlled the many forever, unfortunately. But I don't know if it's a sickness or what it might be, but there's definitely something going on that is ugly, very, very ugly. And maybe things have to get uglier before they can get better. I really don't know. Generally, things tend to get really, really bad before any real change is made. And maybe we're just not there yet. Maybe we haven't seen it yet. Maybe we need that absolute moment of total pandemonium where we can get people to finally wake up to say enough is enough. But I don't know. We'll see.
I know the divide that you're talking about, because even in one of the martial arts academies that I attend, you have a lot of people, they have that same mindset, which you were saying some of your friends have, that it's Trump. Trump is going to do this, and Trump is going to do that, and it seems like they don't look into the policies, and they don't look into the actions. They just take it hook, line, and sinker, and they're not seeing that the policies are leading America and the American empire into total ruin. With that said, how will this play against the American empire abroad as she tries to maintain bases? Because a lot of people say she has 800 bases. Some people say that she has 900 bases. But on one of my shows, when I read the congressional report that was given, I believe it was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, from the Pentagon to Congress, they said, including the logistical camps and all of this, America had over 5,000 hubs where you can say bases. How would the debt problem, the printing of dollars in infinitum and the constant deficits and debt affect the empire abroad?
Well, I think it's pretty fair to say that unfortunately that the America that we're in now is not the America that we once had. We're losing our status in the world. And there are other nations around the world, especially China, angling themselves with Russia, that would love to see the American empire go away. If you're asking if there is another war on the horizon, well, there's always war. And if they need to do that to reduce the population, then they'll end up doing that too. It's crazy. It really is. But like I was saying, I think people, if they just kind of come together, realize what's going on, stop the nonsense, understand that, you know, we are each other's best resource and we're not each other's enemies, we'll all be better off. Did I lose you? Anyway, I think I might have lost you. I don't know if you were
going,
but
I'm here.
Anyway, yeah, but I mean, look, it's very difficult to keep track of all this stuff that's going on. And I on a macro scale, it's looking at everything in such a terrible state right now globally. And obviously this scamdemic had a lot to do with it. I really just hope people come out like right now, start to understand that, you know, and I've said this many times, that we're each other's best resource. Right? We're going to need each other when this whole thing comes down. And I urge people to get together with like-minded people. Find groups of people that you can count on, people that, you know, aren't out to scam you out of a dollar or something like that or mislead you. That's really what we need to do. Once we end up doing that, you know, free thought, free action, free movement, that's really what it's all about. It's not about having our lives dictated to us by a bunch of freaks that are trying to control every action that we take. We've seen this before in history, and it always ends badly.
Uh-huh.
And this is going to be no different. It already isn't any different. We're in a disgusting, hideous mess. And I don't know how they can fix it other than they're working towards an end game to just change everything. And I think part of that is reducing the population of the world. I know how crazy that sounds too, but I really think that's probably true too. They want to control everything. It's all about control. And it's a lot easier to control less people as well too. So you need to be, you know, you need to be ready for anything. As crazy as something may sound, like what I just said, you need to always be ready for it. You always have to have the high ground. You have to be prepared for the worst case scenario all the time. I think that's how you stay ahead of it.
I noticed in your previous clips and videos, you used to always say, as this thing implodes, it will be biblical.
Yeah.
Could you enlighten the people of what you were referencing and why it will be biblical?
Sure. I mean, you know, if in fact this debt-based economic model is ending, and it does certainly look like that to me by design, that they're doing this by design here, what will happen at that one particular point where we cannot borrow anymore, when we literally do max out that credit card, when the debt market blows up? In other words, why would any individual, a business, a nation hold on to a unit of debt that is guaranteed to lose purchasing power? You have a 10-year yield yielding what, 0.7 right now with their actual rate? And the Fed admits they want a 2% target on inflation, which we know that's a joke, and we're way above that already. So there's going to be a point where a massive sell-off in the debt market is going to include a cratering of the dollar. Well, people are going to walk around and say, I can't buy anything with this. I can't buy food. No one will even take it, you know. And this leads up to a new system. Once this one implodes and people are out there in the streets, you know, wondering how am I going to feed myself? How am I going to feed my family? I can't go to the store. The stores are cleaned up. Because when we get a debt market meltdown, when we get a stock market meltdown, the food in the stores is going to be gone within hours. We already saw what happened to the toilet paper. You remember that whole thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So people are going to be, what do I do? What do I do? I got to, the government, oh, here come the trucks. Rely on the government. They're going to feed you. They're going to do that. They're going to do this. Then they're going to institute, obviously, some kind of a very harsh laws against being outside. They're already trying to do it now. They're curfews. Look, they want to see what they can get away with. This uh-huh. scandemic is a trial run. They want to see what people can take. Are you going to sit there? Are you going to wear the New World Order symbol across your face? Are you going to allow them to lock you up? Are you going to allow them to dictate what you can and cannot do? Looks like people are letting them do that. So they're going to take it to the next level. But I expect absolute pandemonium to explode in the streets at one particular time. Again, by design, they want to create massive chaos. And out of that chaos, they're going to create their own order. And it's going to be a horrible thing to see. Unfortunately, we're marching right into it. I mean, look around us. It's happening now. But again, people aren't yet that violent, but they will be. People who are afraid of certain groups of people coming into the neighborhood and creating violence, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing. This is going to be everywhere.
And you said that the loss of life will be on a scale unimaginable, and it will, and what when this thing explodes, it will be worse than a nuclear bomb.
I think honestly that the debt bubble is the greatest threat to humankind, because it's about acquiring, it's a resource problem. We're borrowing from the future to acquire resources, okay? Once we cannot do that anymore, these resources don't become available. So that's why we have the potential to see a mass loss of life. And I think that's going to be by design too. I really do. I wrote a paper on that, Global Debt and the Human Bubble. People can just look it up online, Global Debt and the Human Bubble. It outlines how I think it's going to play out.
And how long, when this thing implodes, well, first of all, how long do you think it will be before it implodes? And how long do you believe the food will last on the shelves before we have just total pandemonium?
Well, once, you know, in any kind of a bad situation, the food disappears right away. So, and then you can't, the stores won't be able to be replenished. If we're in a worst case scenario here, the dollar dies. Who's going to work for nothing? You can't buy gasoline. You can't do anything. So now there's no way to replenish anything, you know, in a worst case scenario. You always have to be ready for that. And that's when pandemonium is going to break out. When is it going to happen? Don't know. I don't even think about it. All I do is I try to, you know, think about what I can do, I guess, for now to at least put myself in the right spot. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are ready for a worst case scenario. They got their food, they got their supplies, they got stuff like that. And that's all important too. But again, it goes back to what I said earlier. People need to come together. They need to come together with like-minded people. Groups of people have a much greater chance of survival in a worst case scenario than you're out there by yourself trying to fend. You got to get together with like-minded people. It's so important. But, you know, like I said, like I always say, as a trader, I trade the market I have. I don't worry about a market crash. I just try to, every morning or every night or every moment of the day, I try to evaluate the situation. I look at what's happening with the debt market, the dollar, crude oil, stock market. Try to listen to the news. What story are they trying to sell us today? And I try to come up with a strategy to stay ahead of it, and try to keep my people ahead of it too.
Now, in closing, what does the next 4 to 16 months look like in your mind in America and around the globe?
Okay. I think that's a pretty simple answer. Regardless of who wins this election, we're going to see mass debt expansion, like you can't believe, no matter who wins, that's where it's going to go. We're going to see the stock market go higher as the middle class dies. That will continue until it doesn't, unfortunately, until some other force interacts with it. The current trajectory of things, stock market, middle class, will continue until something bumps up against it. It's like an object in motion tends to stay in motion. It's the same thing here. So nothing's going to change with regard to that. You're going to see a lot more debt acquisition. If Biden wins, the people are going to get money. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be some kind of a, I don't know what they're going to do. But if Trump wins, the people will still get money, not as much. Corporations will get more money. So, I mean, that's how it's going to play out. I think with regard to Trump's mindset, you know, he's all for making the rich richer. With Biden's mindset, he wants to give some of that wealth to the people. That's the difference there. But all it comes down to is more debt.
So in our closing, do you have anything particular to say to the people and especially let them know about Trader's Choice and everything?
Sure. I mean, you know, people can find my work on my website, traderschoice.net. But, you know, like I said, I don't want people to really, you know, people should pay attention to this stuff. But don't sit there like a deer in the headlights. Think about what you can do. Think about some of the things that you and I have spoken about here, about maybe coming together, about realizing the plan, the divide and conquer. Don't let them do this to you. Get together with like-minded people. Start to interact with your neighbors, people in your neighborhood. Say hello to someone you've maybe seen 50 times, but you never said hello. Maybe it's time to introduce yourself to that person or a group of people. I don't know. I really think that people need to come together. I really believe this, that all this is important, but we are each other's greatest resource. So once the people can come together, that may be the force that interacts with this whole hideous thing that's going on.
And it is going to look bad. Our, in closing, Gerald Salente said it's going to look real bad in the next next 12 to 22 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on that as we close out?
Well, I believe that. I think things are going to continue the way they're going and get worse. I've been telling people that. You haven't seen anything yet.